It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you?
Morena, Rachel, I'm very good, thank you.
That's good to hear. Hey, it's still a bit of a drought out there. What's actually going on at the moment?
Oh, God, I've given up on the weather. I mean, it's beautiful weather. Yesterday we hit 19 degrees and beautiful sunshine, shortest day of the year.
Mm.
And, you know, all of us would say, wow, what a wonderful climate to live in. But, you know, our dam levels are just below 45 now. Mm. You know, I watched the rugby in Waikato on Saturday night. Great to see the Blues beat the Chiefs. But, you know, it was pouring down there. I'm in South Auckland, and we didn't get rain.
Mm.
Coromandel was flooded over the weekend. We got a bit of rain, but not enough. So, you know, look, each day that goes by and the rain doesn't arrive is a day closer to the, you know, to the requirement for severe water restrictions.
And what would those water restrictions look like, Phil?
A little hard to know yet from Watercare, but what it will mean undoubtedly is that we just won't be able to use water like we normally do in households. Households are 70% of consumption. And for industry, we may have to close some industries for part of the week, depending, you know, look, we'll still have 200 million litres a day coming up from the Waikato and other sources. But if we run out of water in the dam, we won't have anywhere near the 550 million litres we need over summer. So that's why I made a submission to a parliamentary select committee yesterday. We've been waiting 7 years to have our resource consent heard to take some more water from the Waikato. And after 7 years, we are still, guess what, 106th in the queue to have our application heard, maybe another decade. Well, that's just a bloody nonsense, actually. You know, we put the application in plenty of time to cater for greater resilience. I've looked at the application. It's 7 years old now, but it says that the impact on the river is negligible. Maybe it drops it by 1.5 to 2.2 centimetres for a river that runs 6 metres deep at that point, and compared to the half metre rise and fall of the river according to, you know, high tide, low tide. So, you know, people are saying, oh, is it good for the river? Look, it won't do any damage to the river according to, you know, the reports that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And what's more, if we're drawing more water, then Auckland, you know, through Watercare, is morally bound, I think, to put more money into remediating the quality of the river, including, you know, planting the banks of the river with native plants to stop the rural, you know, the siltation from the rural areas and other pollution. So we'll play our part, but it's difficult to see why we're getting opposition to that, particularly since the resource consent will be heard by an emergency panel of an environment court judge, the local iwi and the local authorities down in the Waikato. So, you know, there's been a bit of a pushback from there, but it's really hard to see why, if there's no damage done, and we stop this city, you know, well, you know, it'll probably be too late to get the building complete and the extra pumping out of the Waikato by the time we get the resource consent. Mm-hmm. But sure as hell, we don't want to wait another 10 years.
No, certainly not. Well, speaking of emergencies, I just wanted to touch base on the emergency budget response. Of course, public submissions closed on Friday. Do you know how many submissions you received, Mayor?
Yeah, an amazing 35,000 submissions, which is 10 times more than we got for the initial budget in January, February of this year, when we only got 3,500 pieces of feedback. Now, some of those will be pro forma, you know, things, you know, Taxpayers Alliance or Ratepayers Alliance that they fill out and send thousands in. But, you know, even when you discount those kind of standard format responses, a lot of interest, and so there should be, because this is an emergency budget. And, you know, when you're dealing with a $500 million cut in your income, which has to be reflected in a cut in your spending, we want to hear back from people about how we're proposing to go about dealing with that emergency.
So when will we know what the outcome of the budget and the response is?
We've got the consultation closed on Friday at midnight, so we've got council officers now going through all of those consultation documents and analysing them. We'll get feedback to the Finance and Performance Committee on, I think, the 8th of July, We'll get feedback from local boards on the 14th of July. We'll make the final decisions around the annual budget on the 16th of July, and the adoption of the final annual budget document will be on the 30th of July.
Let's talk about some stuff that has been popping up internationally now, which does kind of touch with Auckland. And this is the kind of conversation that we're seeing around colonial statues and statues of people who have, I don't want to say a checkered history, because I think that's the wrong way to put it, but have a place in history that is contentious and also violent sometimes. And we've got a few of these statues around Auckland. We've got statues of Governor Grey, who's got a very complicated history with New Zealand. I'm also looking, of course, we're very near a very publicly contentious statue of the New Zealand Wars, which is just up the road on Simon Street.
It's a statue on Wakefield and Simon Street.
It has a very suspect plaque on it that includes the line, the colonial forces and the friendly Maoris, which is not a very 2020.
Very 19th century, isn't it?
So what are your thoughts around this, Phil? Should we be looking at these statues? Should we be revising them? Because there are some really valid calls coming that we shouldn't necessarily have these kind of monuments to moments of violence in our histories in New Zealand. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, well, look, there is a way forward, I think. And this came, we've been discussing this now for 3 years in relation to the Nixon monument, which is in Otahuhu, which is a monument to Colonel Marmaduke Nixon, who was involved with the sacking of a pā rangia whāia near Te Awamutu in the Waikato. And there was a call, as you might or might not remember, 3 years ago, you know, pull the statue, pull the monument down. He's actually buried under it. So what we did is we pulled in the Ngāti Apakura people, who were the iwi of the Rangia Whāia village, which was attacked in 1864. We pulled in Te Akatai Waiahua, who is the iwi that has strong links around Otahuhu, and we pulled in the descendants of Marmaduke Nixon, the man that the monument is to. And clearly, at the time that monument was put up, it reflected the views of the time. And, you know, the victors always interpret history, of course, and that's not always an accurate account of the history. But what we found was that the iwi from the village that was attacked didn't want the monuments pulled down. Nor did the local iwi. They said, look, this reflects a point in our history. But the sensible thing, and what we proposed and was accepted by all parties, including the family of Marmaduke Nixon, who still live in Auckland, was why don't we set that monument in context, giving a 21st and more accurate and balanced interpretation of what happened during the land wars. So it's taken a long time because it's been backwards and forwards, but by and large there's agreement between the three parties. Leave the statue there, and the iwi are saying, look, the man is buried there, so it's wahi tapu. You know, we don't want to remove the grave, we don't want to remove the monument, but tell history in a broader context. Don't try to erase history. Give it a 21st century interpretation. So I've got the wording somewhere in front of me, actually, which would go up on a plaque alongside the existing monument, telling a balanced account of what happened in those times. And all three parties, the family of the person Colonel Nixon and the local iwi and the iwi that were victims of the attack, they all agree pretty much around putting this other plaque up and setting it in context. Now, we should do the same with Zealandia, and probably we should do the same with George Grey.
The thing I'm curious about there, though, Phil, is that with that Nixon monument, that is kind of specific in that it does have a sort of burial ground situation, so perhaps the context for that is a little bit different to something like the Zealandia monument on Simon Street or Governor Grey in Albert Park, where there isn't necessarily that same kind of relationship to a burial site. It's more just a monument. Do you think the conversations could perhaps be different around those? Do you think maybe there is a place for removing those?
Well, I think you do have to have the conversations first, and that's what I'm, you know, my plea to people, don't go and take the law into your own hands and vandalise it. Be part of the conversation. And, you know, obviously, in each case, we'd be talking to Māori there. And my understanding of Ngāti Whātua's view is that the statue shouldn't be taken down. I mean, he was a complex character. He did some things that were wrong. But Paul Moon, who's Professor of History at AUT, and Māori himself, you know, spoke out quite strongly about, you know, you can't deny history.
Do we think it's something that we could be having public forums on, though, perhaps? Something where you can have a bit more of a broader conversation? Is this something that the council might consider as having some kind of, like, town hall meeting about these kind of things?
Yeah, I think that's the way forward. And when we finalise the Nixon monument, and, you know, give or take the fact that he's buried under it, I think that the same arguments exist around all of them. We have a one-sided view of history at the moment, but let's not try to deny history. It happened. It records an event. Let's use that as a way to get people to think about the past. Let's educate people about the past, and and let's provide a balanced account of what happened there, because I think it is important that we do understand our history. And probably most of us don't know enough about our own history, and that's why I applaud the government's view to bring teaching of New Zealand history into the mainstream of our school curriculum. I think that's important as well.
Do you think there's maybe a place as well for new monuments, some monuments that maybe have different connotations or different contexts? If we kind of, I guess, take the removing monuments conversation and put it to the side, do you think maybe we need to see some more recognition of other parts of our history or different facets, not necessarily just to counterbalance or offset what we've got, but maybe to recognise different parts of our history? Is that something you think we could see more of in Auckland?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, you know, the PM points out that she unveiled the statue of Fina Cooper. That's the only statue she's been involved with. And that marked a point in time in our history too, and a turning point in our history. I think, you know, I'm not one that necessarily thinks that we should have monuments to anybody and everybody around there. I mean, it was a bit of a 19th century trait to put monuments up to everybody. But, you know, we want to commemorate a piece of history, let's have something to do that. And today, I think that we are capable of being more balanced in our interpretation of what actually happened. There are always two sides to history. That doesn't mean to say that, you know, it's balanced. Sometimes there's right and there is wrong. And today we would concede that the confiscation involved in the land wars was more about a grab for land than it was about the need to protect the city. But let's tell the whole story, and let's encourage people to think about the past and where it's really appropriate. You know, I mean, I unveiled a statue of Sir John Walker in Manurewa, you know, which was his home area. And people there were pretty chuffed that, you know, local boy made good, you know, gold medal winner at the Olympic Games and world record holder. You know, that was something that gave a bit of interest and a bit of life to Manurewa, where they could think about their local guy that helped make history. So, yeah, I'm not against it, but I don't think we probably need to have statues to every politician around the place. I'm not sure that that's what we want to memorialise.
Well, I certainly.
But let's choose the people that we want to memorialise and do it well.
I certainly think it is an interesting conversation, and maybe a good moment for Auckland to be looking at least at what monuments we've got, what statues we've got, and how we can approach them moving forward. Thank you very much for your time this morning. I think that might be all we've got time for, Phil, but it's always a pleasure to have you on the show, and I'm sure we'll be able to touch base on some of these topics again in the future as well.
Look forward to it next week.
Thank you very much. See you then.
Catch you later.
Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.